It's an honor to be here this morning. I appreciate the invitation to be able to be here, and always enjoy the drive up. It's a beautiful drive. It's seeing all the colors, the vibrant colors. I tell you, you can't make that drive up here. And I was thinking about the message, thinking about the theme that we see Jesus. And you can see Jesus in the drive up here. You can see the Lord. He made all of this. And, you know, y'all, pray for me this morning. I'm a little nervous. I always am nervous. We had a good night's rest. I appreciate the hotel stay and the fellowship last night. And I know y'all hear this a lot, but and I hope you understand I mean it very much. This church has always, from the first time I've met you, has always made me feel very welcome as a part of you. I've been to churches that it wasn't that way. I've been to churches that they called and said, hey, we'd like you to come up here. And I'm thinking, do I have anything planned? Can I plan anything? You know, because when you go, you're just there, you know, but here we're a part of you. And I appreciate that very much. I've been praying for the conference, the men, and for you, the church here, Brother Graber. I don't know what it is to be a hosting pastor of a conference, but I'm going to find that out in November. 4th and 5th, we're going to have my first conference as a pastor there, Marriage, Family, and Service Conference. So be praying for that. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. When Brother Graber let me know the theme that we see Jesus as our greatest need, I was like, wow, that's pretty broad. Because that could go with almost anything. Because he is our greatest need in everything that we have, everything that we do, everything we face, every decision that we make. He needs to be first, right? But as I began to think and began to pray about it, I was raised in church. I've never not went to church. From a baby, I've been in church. It was never a question. We never got up Sunday morning and asked Mom and Dad if we're going to church. We went. You know, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If there was a work day at church, we never asked, are we going to be going? No, we went. And we didn't just go and sit on a pew and do something. We worked. We were part of it. That's been my life. And one of the things that I've seen in churches, and this is one thing that's always been in my mind that I don't want to fall into. You ever seen people at church that they're very religious? They're very biblical. God is everything. And then you go to their house and there's nothing God there. You know, they don't talk of God at work. You meet them on the street and it's not about God. It's about all the other things in their life. And God is something that is set aside for church. But it hasn't changed their life. You know, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. I know churches that have stood. I remember going to conferences with my parents. Our family would go to conference. My dad would preach. And the church would be a church that dad would, he would say, what I just said, you make us feel welcome. And I was a lost kid that I felt welcome. But now, I can't go to those churches and preach. Because they're no longer sound. They've drifted away from the truth. They've fallen away. Why is all of this what it is? Why is it? And this is what the Lord led me to, is we see Jesus as our greatest need in our fellowship. Not just And I know the word fellowship is a very broad word. And as I began to look at it, I began to see different ways that I could apply this fellowship. Fellowship in family. I mean, and you look at a husband and wife's duties, their responsibilities according to the Word of God in Ephesians, and we'll read there maybe, that a wife is to submit herself to her husband as unto the Lord. You know, a husband is to love his wife as the Lord loved the church, right? Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. And you think about this, our fellowship in our families, our fellowship in our churches, our fellowship with individual people in the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, will only be as so good as our dedication to Christ. We won't be more. I will not be more dedicated to the church that I pastor than I am to the Lord. I won't be. A husband will not be more dedicated to his wife than he is to the Lord. Won't be saying, "No, wait a minute. He will not love her more than he loves the Lord." He won't. If you want to love your wife, husbands, if you want to love your wife the way you're supposed to love your wife, with the love that you're supposed to have, then Christ needs to be first in your life.
Amen.
Wives, if you want to be the wife that you're supposed to be, biblically, be what you're supposed to be, then Christ needs to be first in your life. We get all of this mixed up and we get this, and I understand it, because I found myself heading in that direction because it's all these things that I see. You know, our eyes play a major role in our life. Here in our, let me get my glasses on so I can read it. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and you know what's going on here, right? The day of Pentecost, Peter is preaching. He says here in verse 20, I'm going to start in verse 22 and just read a couple verses here. So Peter and the other apostles, they're worshiping, and the people say, look, they're drunk. They're speaking in tongues. But understand this, that they're not speaking in different languages. Everyone is hearing in their own tongue, right? So then in verse 20, they say they're drunk, and Peter stands up and says in verse 14, says that we're not drunken. And 15, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which spoken by the prophet Joel. He says, this is a prophecy. You're seeing this prophecy come to life. Verse 22, he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter, this message just amazes me with Peter, because Peter's the same one. There's just a few chapters earlier, over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he didn't want to admit he knew Christ, right? But here he's standing up in front of the same ones that crucified him saying, you did it. As nervous as I am to stand up here, y'all haven't crucified anyone. I mean, not that I know of. You know, you haven't. And you're not going to. Long as I preach what God's word says, you're not going to throw me out. Right? But Peter stood up and preached a message that was totally against what these folks stood for. In verse 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. I mean, look at what he preaches to these people. That Christ, the one that you crucified, he's risen again. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? What could they do? If you're here today and you're lost, what shall you do? The same thing Peter tells them here in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. There must be repentance, a turning from, a seeing that you can't continue this way. That was one of the biggest things in my life as I was lost, is I wasn't really bad enough. I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say those words at all. I would tell you that I needed a Savior. I would tell you that I needed salvation. But really, truly, I didn't really believe I needed it. I think everybody here that's saved, you were in the same boat I was in. Until the Lord woke you up one day and showed you that you have no hope in yourself. When there was no other prayer that I could pray, there was nothing else I could say, nothing else I could do, all my hope was gone. You know, that's when the Lord saved me. When I ran out of things to hope in. I ran completely out. It was all up to Him. If He was going to save me, it was Him. Verse 39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off," that's us, "even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then, after He gave them the word, He preached Jesus Christ to them. Then, they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What would we do? We come together, right? And you can see in, I'm not going to turn there, but over in Acts chapter 1, it tells us in verse 15 that there were about 120. You find something neat here, just as a sidekick here, that about 120, not an exact number of the membership, but about. And then here in chapter 2, there were about 3,000. Not an exact number. So why is that important? It's not the number that matters. Folks, it's not the number of the members that matters. It's whether the Lord is working or not. It's, well, are we following Him? I've seen churches that the Lord blessed and that He added to those churches. You know what I've seen people do? I've seen the older, no offense to older people, but if we're not careful, we get in this rut, right? The older people that are the ones that people come to and ask questions about, what do you think we ought to do about this? What do you think we ought to do about that? We have those people, right, that we go to and we ask. But when the Lord begins to bless, the Lord begins to add to the church younger people, sometimes those older people get upset. They're no longer the ones people come to and ask questions. They're no longer. Why do they get upset? They're losing their power. They're losing that. Why does that matter? And all of this, in my mind and my understanding, has to go with our fellowship. Because Christ is not the greatest need. The Lord blesses. The Lord adds to us. We ought to rejoice, praise the Lord. We had a conference one time there in Independence. Did you know something off the wall happened? And my dad told everybody, what happened is just fine. Doesn't matter. There was a preacher that was preaching, and there was a lady that was saved in the middle of the message. You know what she did? She said, "I've been saved." You know what we did? We stopped listening to the preacher. Everybody ran to her, hugged her, shook her hand. The preacher did not mind at all that his service was interrupted. Didn't matter. We had, in that same conference, there was a preacher was fixing to get up and preach. They were singing songs. Going to introduce the next preacher for that morning, the first preacher for that morning. And a girl back in back
Yeah, Clarissa Duke came up over there, came up and told Dad she's not saved. She's lost. She's a member of the church. Been a member of the church for years. Lost. And Dad said, oh my. He stopped the singing. Right then, stopped it. We need to pray. We need to pray right now. The preacher never preached. He never did preach. We were singing songs and we were praying. A couple took Clarissa downstairs in the fellowship hall, began to pray with her, show her scriptures, talk to her. We were praying for Clarissa. Mandy Thomas was Mandy Alls at the time. She leaned forward and told Jack Holbrook, I'm saved. And he turned around and said, yeah, I know. And she said, no, just now. She's a member of the church too. Lord just saved her. You know, the preacher never preached. Would that be okay if the next preacher didn't get to preach because people were being saved? Or that's not the schedule, people. You need to wait till invitation. We're Baptists, right? We don't get out of line. We don't even say amen very loud. You don't smile too big. And you definitely don't giggle and laugh much. Right? Just strict. Straight. Is that okay if all that happens? What are we looking for when we're here? I enjoy coming. I enjoy the message. I mentioned last night mainly because of the messages on my mind. I enjoy the preaching very much. I enjoy the messages. Last night we heard very convicting messages. Y'all pray for me about those messages too, because as Brother Luke prayed, I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be the same. I want to be more of what He wants me to be. But one of the things I enjoy about coming up here is the fellowship with you. Not just the preachers, but the members. My brothers and sisters in Christ that love the Lord and show it. How do we keep that? And the text, I haven't got to that yet, but verse 42, I'm going to hurry here. Verse 42 says, 3,000 souls were saved, right? About 3,000 souls were saved. And what did they do? And they continued steadfastly. Amen. In what? Their lives as they lived them the day before. No. Salvation changes you. Amen. Salvation. Understand, salvation does not just change you inside. Salvation changes you in the mind. It changes you in the heart. It changes you in your eyes, in your ears, your fingers, your feet. It changes you. Right? It changes you. They were saved and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Not their own doctrine. They didn't come in and say, well, you know what? I think that's a little hard to take, Peter. You saying it that way, that's tough. We need to reword that so it's more acceptable to other people. Nobody said that. Nobody did that. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in what? Fellowship. Together. This word fellowship, it means communion, joint participation, getting to know one another closely. There's also in this fellowship, this word fellowship is the same as a husband and wife being intimate relationships together. Getting to know one another more than you know anyone else. That's this word. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Getting to know one another intimately. Getting to know each other, their needs, their wants, their likes. Their pet peeves. Getting to know one another, their good and bad, all about them. That's what we need. We need to know one another on another level. You know, right, that you can have how to say this. The Bible talks about David and Jonathan, right? It says that they loved one another like a man loves a woman. That's not anything sexual in there at all. But they had that's what this word is. David and Jonathan had a relationship that they knew one another on another level. They loved one another. That's what we need as a church. That's not only for Faith Missionary Baptist Church here. I'm thinking about all the churches that are represented here need this fellowship. Not only with inside the church, but did you know we need this with each sister church also? We need it. We need this fellowship because you ever feel like you're alone, you're the only ones? You ever feel that way? Say what we have up here. I've never experienced this before. This is the first time for me. Where I came from, we didn't have a conference season. There was not. We had, the church where I was a member at, there at Independence, we had three conferences a year. Used to be two, but we separated one of them and made it two. Had a revival and two conferences every year is what we had. That was it. We didn't go to other churches because there wasn't a lot of churches around that we could fellowship with. Wasn't. And if there were, they didn't have conferences. This is something special up here. It's very special to have a conference season. When Brother Bowen said, yeah, we're fixing to enter into conference season. I'm like, what's that? I've heard of winter, spring, summer, and fall, but not conference. But I enjoy it. I like it. I love it. It's a new experience. It's a wonderful thing to have this fellowship. But is the fellowship good enough? Or can it be better? It's good, isn't it? It's really good. But look, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We need to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Where did the apostles get that doctrine from? From Christ. Amen. They got it from Christ. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verses 1 through 4. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, or that the day of Christ, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Listen, there's going to be, and we're in this time right now, that there is a falling away happening right now in churches. People that we have known, people that have stood for years, are now saying, I don't believe it that way. Okay. Why not? What's going on? What's happened? I've talked to my dad about it quite a bit, Brother Bowen, and I've talked about it some, and One of the things that I discovered after the Lord saved me, that I knew what I believed, right? But then one day I realized that I knew what my dad believed. I did not know what I believed because I hadn't studied any of it. I had to begin to study and read and find out what I believed. And so then when I began to have children, or my wife had her children, I was just there. But when we had children, we would tell them, this is what we do, this is how you do it. We go to church. We sit this way, we talk this way, we act this way, we behave this way, right? And everything was fine. Until one of my children, I'm not going to tell you which one, decided to start asking that dreaded question. You know what that dreaded question is? Why? Why do we do it that way? Because? Not good enough. Not good enough. Here's the thing. A lot of times we as pastors, as preachers, as parents, we tell them what, we tell them how, we tell them what to do, when to do, where to do, why, how to do, but we don't tell them why. So when it comes up, they do not know why we go to church every day. Why we go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. They don't know why we say that Christ is preeminence in our life. They don't know why. They don't know why that we believe in the doctrines we believe in. They know the doctrines, but the why is not there. Folks, we really need to be teaching our children and our churches the whys. The whats, but the whys are just as important. Because if they don't know the whys, then when they hear the false teaching and they tell them the whys, where do you think they're going to go? They're going to follow the ones that teach them the whys. That's what I've seen. There is a falling away right now. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Peter's writing here to Timothy, and he tells him, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Stand firm. Be ready when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Did you know there's sometimes that pastors get a phone call and it's not convenient? I remember with my dad. I've lived with a pastor almost my whole life. I remember we'd have supper fixed. We'd sit down, and this was before cell phones, right? We'd sit down to eat, and the phone would ring, and Dad would go, I don't know how many cold meals he ate. It wasn't convenient. I remember planning a vacation. We had vacation planned. We were excited. And then the family needed Dad. Our vacation got put on hold. Not convenient. But it's okay. It's okay. You know, the attitude is what I'm looking at with all of this. My dad one time got fired from a church. You may say you can't get fired from a church. I saw him. It was in a business meeting. And he was the moderator, of course. One of the men stood up and said, I make a motion that we vacate the pulpit. Yeah. And Dad said, okay, we have a motion to vacate the pulpit. Do I have a second? I second the motion. All in favor? fired. We went home that night. I was mad. We lived in a parsonage. We had no place to go. The church was nice enough, they decided that we could stay until the end of the school year, which was like 2 months away. He had 2 months to find a place to go. That night, I made a comment. I said that the man that stood up, I called his name out, the man that stood up and made that motion, you could have fried an egg on his forehead. He was bald like me. You could have fried an egg on his head. I thought my dad was going to come unglued. That man is saved. You never, ever talk about one of the Lord's men. Never. He got on to me for saying something about the man that just fired him. He cared more about what the Lord thought, my dad did, than what that man thought. And he taught me that. You follow the Lord. He's first. Here, Paul is telling Timothy, you follow the Lord. You seek Him. Why? Why is he charging him with this? Verse 3 says, for, or because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. We're in this time now. Who's the they in verse 3? That's not the world. That's not the world that's going to turn away from the truth. Paul is telling Timothy, people in your church are going to turn away from the truth. They're going to leave. Why? Why? Brother Gordon preached it last night. Because Christ is not their greatest need. How do we keep our fellowship? How do we keep the love between brother and sister and sisters in Christ? How do we do that? How do we keep the fellowships as a wonderful, great, needed thing? By keeping Christ as our greatest need. He is our greatest need in our fellowships. With the love between brethren. With our love between churches. Did you know that it's okay if we don't agree on everything? Yeah, it's okay. As long as we agree on the main doctrines, right? There's other things that we can disagree on. Do you want me to try and force you to believe it my way? You can say no, because you don't want me to, do you? Well, I don't want you to force me to believe it that way either. But you know what I do want you to do? I want you to explain to me why you believe it that way. But what I also want you to do is listen when I explain to you why I believe it my way. See, that's fellowshipping. That's talking. That's growing. You never know. You might say something sometime and I'll be like, whoa, I never saw that. I never put that scripture in there. I'm going to have to study that. I have to look at that. And you don't know, I might come up to you one day and say, you know what? I believe it like you do now. I see it. Fellowship is where we grow. Fellowshipping with one another. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 10. You know, Corinth, the church at Corinth was a very troubled church. They had a lot of issues. A lot of issues. Verse 10, Paul tells the church here, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," look at what he tells them, "that ye all speak the same thing." What does he mean, speak the same thing? You all say the exact same thing? You just mimic one another? No. You have the same outlook. You have the same thoughts. You're talking about the same Christ is what he's talking about. The Lord, the biblical scriptures, the same doctrine, the same teachings. You believe the same thing. You speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you. No arguing. What is it churches are known for? Let me rephrase that. What is it Baptist churches are known for? Fussing and fighting and arguing. You may say, well, wait a minute. We don't fuss and fight. You ought to be thanking the Lord. My past, every church my dad pastored, but except for Independence, you know what they had in them? Troublemakers. Fussing, fighting, bickering, belly aching. Dad told me one time that he had people come up to him and would complain about things somebody else did. So he stood up in a pulpit, he had a notebook, and he said, "Here's what we're going to start doing. You have a complaint, we're going to write it down, you're going to sign it, and we're going to go talk to them. That's what we're going to do, because I'm getting tired of hearing it." Nobody complained. They quit all the complaining to Dad. People like to complain and fuss and bellyache. But here he tells them, you need to be, have no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Where is our mind at? We're talking about fellowship in the church, among churches. We need to be of the same mind. When I read this verse, I think about a job that I ran. Aberdeen was the name of it. I made a mistake on that job. Didn't know it for a while. Couldn't figure it out. We glued together some 4-inch Schedule 80. That's gray pipe, big gray pipe for water pipe in the building. But what I did is I glued together a 4-inch Schedule 80 PVC to 4-inch Schedule 80 CPVC. They're both gray, same size, they fit together. It held. Till we put pressure on it. But it didn't blow apart. It just dripped ever so slowly. It would take 3 or 4 minutes for the drip to all the way form and drip off. Like, that's a leak. I cut it out. Well, it's just a bad end on that pipe. So we cut it out. We spliced it together. You know what it did? Both couplings did it. Why? I got to doing some investigating on that. Called the manufacturers, talked to them, and finally got an engineer that knew what he was talking about. And he said, "Both of them are Schedule 80, right?" And I said, "Yeah." "Is one CPVC and one PVC?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "That's a problem." "How is that the problem?" "I used all-purpose glue." And that's what it's for. That's what it's for. It's for PVC and CPVC and ABS pipe. And he said, "Yeah, but the size of the CPVC pipe is just minuscule smaller. So the glue can't hold that gap." You think it looked good. Churches, sometimes there's just a minuscule gap. It looks good. But when there's pressure put on it, it begins to leak. Our fellowship, if Christ is not our greatest need in our fellowship, if Christ is not our greatest need, like brothers talked about last night, in our life, if Christ is not our greatest need, then we're going to have a drip in our church. And it's going to create a problem. in 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read this and then I'll be done. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Just listen to what he says here. And pay attention to where the words fellowship are at and what's going on. He says in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, and we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Do you notice the fellowship in this? Their fellowship was with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they preached Jesus Christ so that they could have fellowship with them through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our greatest need in our fellowship. If we put Him first in our marriage, in our families, in our churches, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have joy. And our joy is going to be full. We're going to have some of the greatest meetings, some of the greatest fellowships, some of the greatest messages that we've ever heard. Why? Because we came ready. Because our focus at home has been Jesus Christ. Therefore, our focus at church is Jesus Christ. Our family's focused on Jesus Christ. Our life is focused on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our greatest need in our fellowship. There's going to be a falling away. There is a falling away right now. But let me ask you, what's going to keep you from falling away? What's going to keep Faith Missionary Baptist Church standing years to come if the Lord tarries? It's Jesus Christ being our greatest need. That's what it is, brother.